head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with Anoush Sariat, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanter, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So, here's Rick.
And here we are on the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. This is your host, Rick Redding. Very happy to have in the studio with me my second guest co-host, and this is the lovely Lauren Hendricks. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
Well, these are tough duties here, trying to be an interesting co-host, but I really appreciate we met back when we were talking about the Forecastle Festival, and you were right in the middle of that.
Oh gosh, yeah, I was beyond knee deep. I think I was actually in over my head already.
but I've learned that was just one of the many sort of things you do.
It really is. I wear a lot of hats, not just in my job, but just in general. Definitely always stay busy, but it's everything I'm involved in, everything I do it because I have fun and I like it. So,
well, that's the way to live. That's the way we
I've
should all
no
live,
complaints.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff we're going to talk about in the second part of the show. A lot of fun things that are going on in town. But I want to first mention my sponsor of the show is Eye Care Institute. Right down there on Story Avenue, 502-589-1500. They are the place to go if you need a regular exam, LASIK, any other complex issues with your eyes. Eye Care Institute on Story Avenue is the place to go. And you know, right down from there, we talked a few weeks ago, Lauren, you hang around in that neighborhood, right?
I do. I actually live in Butchertown as well.
In Butchertown.
So.
You've been to Fabaloo?
I have not been to 50 Lou yet, but I know there's a lot opening.
It took me a long, long time to learn how to pronounce this, so
yeah.
Go with me. Fabaloo.
Oh, Fabaloo. Gotcha. I thought Fabaloo. You said 50 Lou.
No.
I was thinking, that's Warren and Chris and Hill. Fabaloo. I did go there, actually, last week. I had lunch there, and it was great.
Yeah.
Really like
cool.
It. Yeah.
Pretty cool
space.
Pretty cool stuff. All right. Well, I want to tell you a little bit about who my guests are on the show. They're really great. I talked earlier this week to Jessica Frances Duke, and she is playing Lady Macbeth at Actors this week. It starts next week. And you know a little bit about Macbeth.
A little bit. I'm sure all of my English teachers from middle school and high school would be embarrassed by the lack of what I remember. But I do know I love Actors Theater's plays. So
okay.
I will hopefully be able to check that out.
You majored at what, where?
So I majored in communication at U of L. I got my bachelor's and my master's there, actually. And before that, I went to Manual High School. And had a major, which was communication media arts. So I was very focused. Yeah.
Well, good. I had two sons that went to Manual, and both are doing great. So
yeah, it's a good school.
It's a good school. All right. And my other guest is one that you're very familiar with, Mike Suttles over there. And he is sort of in charge of the Garvin Gate Blues Festival.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, so Mike and Howard Rosenberg and actually John Paul, all three of them are the contacts I have and who I work with for Garvin Gate Blues Festival. I've only been in it for 2 years, got involved last year, and to help with some of their public relations and some of their marketing.
Sure.
And they're great guys.
Well, have you been?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh,
yeah.
What a blast the Garvin Gate Blues Festival is.
It is. It's fun.
Encourage people. You know, it's in a part of town and not a lot of people go to. Some people have some apprehension about going down to Old Louisville and hanging around on the streets there, but it's just a tremendous place.
It is, and it's free.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any better than that, a free music festival.
It's free. It's very cool. So that's what we're going to be talking about in the show, and in between those interviews, you and I are going to chat a little bit about things going on in the world and in our city of Louisville, and I'm just happy to have you on here because you know so much about what's going on in town.
Thank you. Like I said, I'm happy to be here, and I'm sure we will have plenty to talk about.
All right. Well, first up on our show is Jessica Frances Duke. As I said, I went down to Actors Theater the other day. Jessica is playing Lady Macbeth. She is knee-deep in rehearsals. They're very intense, but she got up at 10 o'clock in the morning and came in and talked to me. And she's just a delightful person. She wants me to take her bowling.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You like to bowl?
I'm a terrible bowler.
Oh.
terrible. But every once in a while, I'll get like two strikes in a row out of nowhere and just throw everyone off. And then I'll just go right to the gutters again. So I'm pretty unpredictable.
Well, there you go. Well, bowling's fun. And I'm in a bowling league myself.
Oh, are you?
And all that. And do that.
You could teach me something then.
I could. Maybe you.
Maybe
Jessica,
we should all go.
You and Jessica and me can all go bowling. But stay tuned for this interview. It's really great. Jessica's from, I think she grew up in Washington, D.C., and she is a career, I mean, she's made a career out of acting. She's a very delightful person. I encourage you to stay tuned for that, and I'll be back with Lauren after the interview with Jessica to talk about some more stuff. All right.
I had no use for health insurance, but my mom was always saying, sign up for Passport. And I was like, Mom. She was like, for my peace of mind. It got to be where I needed peace of mind, so I did. Now my mom, she can chill, and I feel pretty good about it too.
Together we can all feel better. Call 1-800-578-0603 and ask for Passport. That's 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan, working together for a healthier Kentucky.
This is the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm with Jessica Frances Duke, who's on your first trip to Kentucky, I understand.
Yes, yes. I'm having a good time so far.
Which is interesting because you got family from Frankfurt.
Yeah, right? Yeah. My family originated in Frankfurt, and then most of them live in Dayton and Cincinnati now.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. And then you grew up where?
I grew up in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to Kentucky.
Thank you.
It's great, great to have you here. Now, you are playing Lady Macbeth in the Shakespeare play Macbeth at Actors Theater. It starts October 4th and runs through basically the end of the month, and it's a very exciting time for you.
Yes, I've been waiting to play this role for a little bit.
Well, I was, you know, I'm no Shakespeare expert, but I was reading about Macbeth and surprised that I kept sawing the phrase political ambition and sound and fury with no substance or something. It reminded me of a current political figure in our country. Mm-hmm. Do you think the timing of this performance of Macbeth is apt, I guess?
Well, I think it's right on time. You know, I think that when you talk about how much you will do to get into power and at what cost, you know, that you do that with. I mean, it's you have a king in this play that will do anything to gain his power and safety over that power. And a wife that is pushing him to do that.
I would say, you are not the character of Lady Macbeth sort of basically pushes her husband to murder.
She basically hears of a premonition or a apparition that happened that basically sets him up to be king. And she basically is ready to do everything she can to make that happen, even if that means killing the current king, which it ends up being. So once he comes into power, he has his pretty much tyrannical run. And I think it's current. I think it's great for us to see this now if we let people in office that, you know, that are just, what's the word, you know, ruthless for their power. And
unstable.
And selfish, you know, and I think that it is right on time.
We just watched the debate last night with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And, yeah, I certainly agree with you. The overwhelming political ambition of people who want to be president mm-hmm. is something that I guess should be held in check before somebody starts killing their opponents, right?
Mm-hmm. It was a statement last night that I thought, I was like, oh, I wonder if the guy playing Macbeth is watching this, you know, when they were talking about, oh, well, they were taunting us. If they were taunting us, I would have bombed them.
Yeah, that's right.
And that was such a Macbeth moment, you know, just like, oh, come on, man.
Such an overreaction. And, it's really wild that I'm sure if I actually read the play and knew more about it, I would know. But Lady Macbeth is very much a she very much pushes Macbeth.
She's kind of the one that, you know, outside of the witches, send the apparition. They basically meet up with Macbeth and tell him what the future has in store for him. And Lady Macbeth basically says, let's make that future happen by any means necessary. You know, like it's, you know, so she basically sets up the entire plan. She breaks everything down to him of how it's going to happen. She handles everything. She tells him to let her handle everything. And she starts this whole ball rolling, but then it snowballs out of her control.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, and you know, just to talk about Shakespeare for a minute, I don't know what else you know about Shakespeare, but all these the themes like this seem to be hold true in our modern society in a lot of Shakespeare's work,
yeah.
And you know, and bringing it to Actors Theater at yeah. the right time sort of reminds us of some of those, I guess, life yeah. themes, right?
Yeah, I love him because he writes for the common man, and he was the common man. You know, I remember one of my favorite movies, Shakespeare in Love. You know, if you think about all those people that are in the, you know, in the audience that are in the, you know, little pit, you know, which are mm-hmm. orange sellers, and you know, they're handmaidens, and you know, just low class, normal, everyday folk. And people would say, well, no, we have to change the play because the queen is coming tonight, or the king is coming, or da 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 da. And he'd be like, no, I write my plays for these people. You know, mm-hmm. and I represent those people, and I show what happens to us when power takes over.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Exactly. Well, tell me a little bit about this production. You know, you play Lady Macbeth. It's set in sort of modern times,
yes.
but it still talks of kings and queens and
oh yeah, ancient. We're still riding horses instead of driving cars. We're still walking around with candlelight. We've got, you know, it's basically, it is Macbeth through the eyes of 2016. So you're not going to see cell phones. You're not going to see anything that's current day. But it is that kind of vague world that we're starting to see on TV a little bit, too. You know, it's a back to that simple life, but now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's very interesting. I know that... so do you get to kill anybody? Actually kill anybody? Or
she actually doesn't. She sets it all up,
okay.
but she makes sure that he does it. So he has to do
He
it.
Does the deed.
He has to
okay.
do the deed.
No guns.
No guns. All
okay.
swords. There's some beautiful sword fights in this show. It's absolutely out of this world. Even we've been watching them for 3 weeks now, and we're still like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Hope he doesn't get hurt. All right. Well, okay, I get it. So let me ask you about your career as an actress.
Mm-hmm.
I know you have had some... you know, a lot of stage performances. You've also
yes.
had some television work as well.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yes. I did The Good Wife, which is on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny. I was, again, I keep on finding myself in these works that are relevant to what's currently going on. I did an episode based on basically the riots that were happening due to the police killings.
Uh-huh.
And it was literally right after one. And it was just like, is this stuff just following me? You know, but yeah, so I've done The Good Wife. I did some things on PBS and, you know, just really hunting for more and getting ready to get out
okay.
there. And as soon as we finish and get back to it.
Yeah. Well, I'm always curious about that life of an actor. And because I guess a lot of it is, you know, you got to get a gig, but then
mm-hmm.
you're always got to figure out what you're going to do after this, right?
Right, exactly.
How'd you get this one?
I actually don't know. I auditioned, you know, everybody auditions, and I was doing a show called Detroit 67, which is what Actors Theater is doing next,
okay.
actually, and I was doing that in Baltimore Center Stage, and I got an email saying, hey, Les would love to see you for Lady Macbeth, and I was like, wow, I didn't even know Les knew me. That's awesome. and so, you know, I sent in a tape of one of the scenes,
mm-hmm.
and 2 days later, I got a call.
Wow.
And it's funny, I had just done a reading about 3 weeks before that with Andrew Garman, who's playing Macbeth. And I was like, I wonder if that had anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw him across the table as I was playing this very controlling, outlandish character. And I saw him across the table kind of just like looking at me. And I knew he was already cast at that time. So I wonder if, you know, that's how it happened. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you never know how things happen in life.
Right.
So, have you already know where you're going next?
I do not know where I'm going next. I'm actually going back to New York. I'm in a position right now where an actor always hits that moment where the agent says, no, you can't go out of town so much. So you get to pick certain things that you can go out of town and do. So this was I wasn't going to turn this one down. I had to come do this because it was a dream role of mine for a very long time.
Yeah. Now, did you have some knowledge of Louisville and actors?
I did. It is a program and a theater that you know about in school. So it's one of the top. So when I was in undergrad, I wanted to work here. And I remember graduating from undergrad and going into grad school immediately and sending my stuff here to possibly be a part of the apprenticeship program. And when I got out of grad school, one of my friends in grad school, he got into the program right after that. And I was like, this every single show that I did, and I did a bunch of shows. I worked nonstop. Every single show, I sent something to the casting director here. Just be like, look what I'm doing. Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm doing. Hire me.
Yeah. And then suddenly one day they call.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that says there's probably a Shakespeare play about persistence. I don't know. But, that seems like a good trait. But this is Macbeth, and it's certainly about political ambition, and people that I guess come to see the play will be able to relate in some way to what's going on in the world with the presidential election. And it ends right before the election, right?
Yep.
It goes all the way through October.
Yeah, so hopefully you get some influence when you go.
Not going to be wearing any, there's not going to be any campaigning going on at Actors,
no,
I don't guess.
Not at all.
Well, that's very exciting. So tell me another, I mean, you've been a working actress for how long?
Good Lord. Since I've graduated grad school, I haven't stopped. So, wow. It's over 10 years now.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah.
And tell me just one of your favorite roles that you've been able to do.
You know, it's weird because I can't really pick one. I feel like roles are put in my lap that are perfect for me right at that specific time. And I had just said about, maybe a year ago or a couple months ago, I was like, it's almost time for me to start my Shakespeare Women. And I felt it when I said, it's almost time. Like, I feel like I'm in that place. It's time for me to take on those women. And literally, I get the call.
Yeah.
So this is kind of my perfect time, perfect place. This is my moment role right now.
Well, good. And last thing I want to touch on, it just seems to me like, as an observer of culture and the world, that with the explosion in television networks, and I guess there's a lot of theaters around. It seems like this is a time in our country's history where there is a lot of art, a lot of work being produced on the stage and on TV and film.
Oh yeah, and it's heavy, and I think that the biggest thing to get from that is the arts are running hard, and we are still entertaining the masses. The funding is starting to go bye-bye, and it's really hurting us, and I feel like people are kind of turning their eye, and I feel like, there's so much good theater going on. There's so many, beautiful shows all around the country that you can always see where playwrights and directors and actors are coming out and doing their best work, and some amazing actors on the stages, so please go out and enjoy the arts. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
I'm Steve Coombs, and each week, Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
Hey, welcome back to the Rusty Satellite Show. This is Lauren Hendricks. I am honored to be Rick's featured guest co-host.
That's a mouthful, isn't it?
It is.
Guest co-host.
Guest co-host. But I am. I'm very honored and excited. I've personally never done podcasting. Now I've made some of my clients do it.
I've told
them, you need to do this. It's great. Great. Great marketing. But this is my first time, actually.
Well, I'm
speaking
glad
on
and
air.
You were a guest on the Rusty Satellite Show.
True.
Before,
that's true.
So that
for
the
counts. Yes.
That kind of counts. Well, what did you? We just had that interview with Jessica,
right?
And it's really interesting the way Macbeth is about political ambition and what you would do to get power.
Mm-hmm.
And we did the interview the day after the debate between Trump
and
Clinton.
Yeah.
You watched the debate?
I did watch the debate. I watched it from start to end and then had to pull myself away.
There you go. Well, what did you think?
I wasn't really surprised, to be honest, with either one of the candidates. They did exactly what I expected them to do.
Well, you know, it's funny the way we're divided in this country. People that support Trump watched it and think he won.
Right.
Which shows maybe how dumb they are. I don't know. But
I would agree with that statement.
People that watched it, you know, Clinton was obviously better prepared.
Oh.
She was smarter.
Actually had some details in her plans. Yeah.
And you know, I walk away from it wondering, you know, how could anybody still support Trump after that?
I mean, I've felt that from the very beginning, yeah. If we're being totally honest here, as a Democrat.
Not as a Democrat, as a human being. Who wants this bully, guy dealing with other countries with his hand on the button?
Right.
You know,
no.
It's scary to me.
It's terrifying, yeah. I don't necessarily, after the debate, I'm not necessarily more confident in my vote for Hillary, but I'm somewhat of a reluctant supporter of Hillary,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are.
You know, not my first choice as a candidate, but I think I would probably choose maybe almost anyone over Trump.
Well, the debate, I think, one of the, even the people on the right, I was watching some of the post-analysis of it, and even, you know, the summary was nobody was in the middle and was swayed to go to Trump by that debate.
Right.
I don't think that could have possibly happened. So, you know, we're going to see. It scares me because, you know, he does these horrible performances yet still goes up in the polls.
I don't understand it. The scary part to me is not that Trump could be president, but of the supporters, that there's millions of them, and they believe in him.
You know, the dumb people. I would say the dumb people, and the handful of you smart people who are supporting Trump. I don't mean to offend you, but mainly his supporters, people I think are not too swift. But you know, that is a hot topic of debate.
Oh,
I'm not allowed to talk about when I go to parties with my girlfriend. You know, so
I typically try to stay. I definitely stay out of it on Facebook. My goodness, it gets way too crazy.
That's sort of the wrong place. But
I agree.
I tell you, it's really something. So, well, anyway, let's move on to some more exciting things that are happening right here in Louisville, Kentucky, because you have an active social life, don't you? You get out and about.
I would
a
say
bit.
I've got a pretty active social calendar. most would probably say it's too active and they don't know how I do it all, but you know, this is actually a rare weekend for me where I'm not doing any events. I'm not hosting any. I'm not going to any. I'm not responsible for any marketing or PR. Because I'm going out of town.
Well, good for you, because there's plenty to do.
As you know,
you're missing out on so much stuff.
I am, and I hate missing out on local events. This will actually be my fourth year I'm missing the St. James Art Fair, and I am really bummed about that.
And you used to, like, skip school. Well, you didn't have to skip school.
They
let school out
at Manual.
For it.
Oh, man. It was the best. Like, we had to not be in school. They used our parking lot. It was great.
Yeah, they let school out for the St. James Art Fair, one of the probably the only one in the country that does that, and it's really great. I wanted to tell you about a guy that was a former, was actually a guest here on the Rusty Satellite Show a little while back. His name's Paul Thorne.
Yeah.
He's playing at the KCD Theater, which I've never been to. I'm really looking forward to
it's great.
Seeing that venue.
They've got great guests there, yeah.
And I'm on the front row to the acoustic show Friday
nice.
Night. So Paul's my man. I'm a big fan. You know him?
Oh, yeah. I'm like I said, if I was in town this weekend, my list of activities would be pretty long.
Okay.
And that would be on it.
You'd start Friday afternoon at St. James, then go to Paul Thorne that night, right?
Yep.
And you're probably, the only thing I heard about this other event I wanted to tell you about is people that live over there by on River Road complaining about how loud it was. The Louder Than Life Festival.
Yeah, Louder Than Life. Yeah, that's this weekend as well.
They advertise gourmet man food.
Yes, I very, very clever name.
I don't think there's any calorie counting going on.
No, I don't think so. And I think there's a lot of gluten and a lot of carbs and cheese. And yeah, I assume that's what that means.
And noise. I looked at the list of bands, and there was only, you're in a different generation than
right.
me. So I recognize the name of one band, Cheap Trick.
Okay. Well, see, I'm familiar with that band.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you probably know a lot of the other bands.
You know, it's not my preferred genre of music. Mm-hmm. However, I do recognize a lot of the names on the bill. But I think that's the great thing about Louisville is, you know, we've got, when it comes to music, we've got it all. I mean, we've got Waterfront Wednesday tonight that has, you know, three different artists. Next weekend is Garvin Gate Blues Festival. This weekend is Louder Than Life Festival. You know, obviously, Forecastle Festival. You know, there's
a
ton
time.
Of music festivals. Okay. So no matter what your taste in music is, there's something.
And I understand you know a little bit about this other event that I just learned about, this craft beer and pizza festival.
Yes, yeah.
I saw the list of pizza joints. That, you know, going down there and trying to choose which pizza to have is going to be tougher than choosing which beer.
That's too hard of a decision to make. You just, I mean, pizza's my favorite food. I'm like a 15-year-old boy when it comes out. It's my favorite food. Like, I don't deny it. And I would, again, another thing on my list, if I was here this weekend, I would definitely be going down to Kraft.
Your top one or top three pizzas in town.
Okay, I love the Post. Post. Their crust is my favorite. I mean, as someone who loves pizza, I'm not one of those people that doesn't eat the crust. Like, it's the best part. So their crust is my favorite. And good friends with Laura and Nash as well. So got to support them. And I'd say they're probably my favorite. But we've got so many to choose from, too.
Yeah. So if you go to this craft beer and pizza, and you tell me that it said the Second Street Bridgescape is where it supposedly.
Yeah, so
that's
near near the Yum Center. Yeah, right there.
On that plaza?
Mm-hmm. Man, so I'm actually co-workers with Daryl Sweeney, who is a part of CF Louisville and hosts this event, Craft.
Okay.
So it's definitely something that's close to me, and I think it's an event that a lot of people can get behind and enjoy.
And Daryl's saying, Lauren, how could you go out of town this weekend?
I know.
Lee.
It's, you know.
Well, a lot of times on this show, as you know, I talk about some of the things that I'm doing, that I'm involved in town. I got a chance this weekend to go to on Tuesday, they had a luncheon for the Morton Center. And,
right.
You know, the Morton Center helps people in recovery, people that maybe imbibe too much in stuff like beer and whiskey and
right.
stuff. And in their recovery, it's a very serious problem in our community.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that have paid attention to things I've done. No, I've covered a lot that Jeffersontown, where I live, the police department has started this angel program, and there was an update on that. And I think people would be interested to know, you know, the whole idea is that they're opening up the police station and inviting addicts who want help to come in, turn in their drugs, no prosecution, and get treatment.
Wow.
And one of the places they can get treatment is the Morton Center.
Pretty progressive program.
It's unusual. It's successfully done in Massachusetts, but the skeptics would say nobody's that, right? I mean, your first reaction? Who's going to go to the police station and
right? It almost seems too good to be true. I guess if you're thinking of it that way, yeah.
Well, since it started August 1st, they've had about 20 people that have come in through the thing.
That's good.
And gotten the treatment and all that. So you know, it's a
working.
Small step. It's a small step, and they also mentioned that they're not soft on crime. That they made a huge drug bust out in J-Town as well. So, the police department is really, we hear all this stuff about the police department, right?
Right.
The police around the country.
Right.
This is a really good thing that's going on out in J-Town.
Yeah. There's been so much negative press, you know, with the police. So it's nice to hear something positive that you know that they're doing to help communities.
Okay, well, I got one other topic to talk about. You know, I do this eat, drink, talk show and stuff, and you're going to help me with that. One of the things, when I met Lauren, she's been very helpful in getting me guests for the Rusty Satellite Show, and now I'm going to, you know, lean on her for this show. But Eat, Drink, Talk is a website, and we have a couple of really cool stories this week. I wrote this story about the Red Hog, new butcher shop on.
Yeah, I've been watching them build that.
Yeah, that's the thing. They finally put a sign out. I don't know. Have you been in yet?
I have not been in. But like I said, I've been watching it go up for months and been wondering, what is that? What is that going to be? And I heard a little while back that it was going to be, I guess it's technically like a butcher shop, right?
It is a butcher shop. They bring whole animals in. fabricate them is the word they use. They fabricate them into different products, and some things that you can't get anywhere else will be available right there.
That's pretty cool.
You said on the first day somebody came in and ordered 4 lamb's heads.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you do with those?
I don't know. It's
what part do you eat?
there's things like that that are unusual, and some of the like the beer taps are the tops of them are pig's feet. So that's cool.
So beer taps. So they
Well,
you can
on
get
one
beer
side, on one side's a butcher shop, and on
about?
The other side is going to be a small like little lunch place, little restaurant where they have wood fired oven. You can add a pizza to your list.
I was about to say, does that mean pizza?
Very fresh ingredients and drinks, and they have a full bar and a little patio, and so it's all really
cool. It looks
cool
nice
setting.
From the outside. I'll definitely, you know, as someone who doesn't eat red meat or pork, I don't see myself purchasing a lot of meats from there, but I like to support my, you know, my local businesses in my neighborhood.
Maybe
so.
We'll have a margarita pizza or something.
Yeah.
You can have. And you know a little bit about this other story just posted on the drink talk site that Steve Coombs did about Rue down there on Bardstown Road. Just closed after a tumultuous run of not very long.
Well, it lasted quite a bit longer than some of his other restaurants.
That's right. So, what do you tell me about this? I don't know Dustin Staggers. He was the guy behind it and behind its demise. What happened there?
Right. So, I actually did some work with Dustin earlier in my career. I work for Alexander & Hughes. Advertising and marketing. I have a lot of different clients that I do different marketing and PR for. The Monkey Wrench is one of my clients. And a couple years ago, a lot of people probably remember Dustin being with the Monkey Wrench. I feel like that's kind of where his name started to grow as a chef. I did a lot to get to help him get like, his name out, and he did. You know, was doing great at Wrench. Moved on from Monkey Wrench. And began opening some of his other restaurants, and did some brief work in the very beginning of Rue opening, and then we just went our separate ways.
Yeah, but
as
Rue
businesses.
Is like the fourth or fifth concept he's
opened
and
closed.
So
yeah,
it sounds
like
this may be the end of the line for him. But you know, somebody like that, you never know.
Right.
You never know. So, did you ever eat there?
I did. I went there during their soft opening and went back a few times. But, you know, there's so much competition in Louisville for restaurants.
Yep.
I mean, it's like almost daily a new one's opening up, which is great for local businesses and our economy. But it's stiff competition.
It proves you got to be good.
You got to be good.
You got to be good if you're going to open up in this.
The food's got to be good. The service, the location, you've got to have it all together to make it.
All right. Well, we got to wrap up this segment. One more thing I want to ask you about, because you're going to be out of town, but you can participate in the one thing that everybody in this city is going to be doing this weekend.
What's that?
Watching football.
Yes. My gosh. Huge U of L game.
Game.
Oh, we will. Yes. I will definitely be watching
what you're
that.
Doing, you promise?
I'm going to be on a beach.
They have TV.
So if we can bring a TV out to the beach, you know, I need to get on that.
Well,
I need to work on that.
It's at night. So you can.
There we go.
You'll have to go in.
It's a big game. Yeah.
You're a big U of L fan?
Oh, I'm a two-time graduate. I got to be a big U of L fan.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So anyway, if they can manage to win this one with Lamar and all that.
Oh, that's huge.
It's.
I mean.
National playoff, all that stuff. There's so much good that can come out of a win.
So much.
And, you know, it's not the end of the world if they lose, but
no,
it can be
beating
really
Florida
good.
State already put us up there. Clemson will put us over
okay,
the edge.
Okay, so Saturday night, 8:00, we're all going to be in a virtual community, right?
And, we will.
And watching this game. So every bar in town, I'm sure, will be luring people in with specials and stuff like that. So it's going to be a happening night on Saturday.
Definitely.
With that going on and a lot of other things. So let's skip ahead next week. We got to introduce our next guest. You introduced me to Mike Suttles.
Yeah.
And you know, the bonus of it was that I got to go over where he lives, which is in the Germantown Mill Loft.
Right.
That I hadn't been to before. And what a great place.
It's beautiful. Actually,
I wish I lived there.
Recently, this past weekend, ate brunch at Finn's
at
right
Finn's
behind.
Over there, yeah.
And yeah, beautiful. I mean, both Finn's and Germantown Lofts, beautiful spaces and just great use of those existing spaces
okay.
as well.
So Mike is a retired JCPS. He was a principal at his last one, but he's always had this interest in blues music. I do too. We talked after the interview about some of our blues favorites and people, and he knows about Paul Thorne. He said he almost invited Paul Thorne to play at the Garvin Gate a few years ago, but Saturday, the music didn't quite fit in with what they're doing down there.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah. It's really exciting. And please listen to the interview. I talked to him about his Blues in the Schools program.
Yeah, and, really cool program.
What
first
a great
year.
Thing to teach kids about the blues.
It's important
and how
for
to play
sure.
And this big event on Saturday, October 7th, down there. You can bring your kiddos down there.
Definitely.
And get them. They might walk away. I think he said everybody. Every kid that goes gets a free harmonica.
That is right. So wow. Saturday, October 8th, the morning of morning of the festival.
All right. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Let's get out of the way. Let you listen to my interview with Mike Suttles, and Lauren and I will be back right after that.
Hey, I'm Dan Vonderhyde.
I'm Stephanie White.
We host a weekly podcast called
40-ish.
It's a show about life at middle age.
I'm not 40 yet.
Well, you're getting there eventually.
I guess.
So each week we talk about something that applies to the life of a middle-aged person. We drop a little bit of wisdom in every episode, and we go out and talk to people about their experiences.
And we laugh.
And we laugh a lot. Comes out every Tuesday. Make sure you download.
Tune in.
And today I'm at the Germantown Mill Lofts with Mike Suttles. And Mike, welcome to the show, first of all.
Well, thank you, Rick. I appreciate the opportunity.
We're here to talk about the Garvin Gate Blues Festival, but before we get into that, I want to ask you about this great place, this Germantown Mill Lofts. It's hadn't been open long, and you got a great place here.
Well, thank you. We've been here since the end of June, and downsized from a house in the Highlands, and we really love it. It's a great neighborhood. We like the layout of the lofts, and so we're pretty happy.
A lot of history here, I know. There's a nice restaurant out back.
Right, yeah, it's nice to have a restaurant within, walking distance. And then we've got it, the neighborhood has a bunch as well. So
Yeah, Germantown's really, really hopping. But on the, I guess, second weekend of October is Old Louisville and Garvin Gate.
That's right. It's always the second weekend. The weekend after St. James is how a lot of people remember it.
Okay. Well, I know a lot of my listeners probably haven't been there. I have actually attended the festival a few times, and it just seems like a really great gathering, an eclectic mix of people that attend the show.
Well, that's the one thing that I really like the most about it. I'm intricately involved with it. But the thing is getting on stage to MC and looking out and seeing people from all walks of life. It's a real true cross-section of Louisville.
Yeah. And for people that aren't familiar with it, tell us exactly how you describe, tell people how to get there.
It's on Oak Street between 4th and 6th.
Okay.
Street's closed off for 2 days. There's the old Winn-Dixie has some parking. But it's pretty easy to find. If you can find 4th Street and Oak, you can look and you'll see both of our stages.
Get to Old Louisville and listen, right? And
yes. I feel very confident. If you come once, you'll come back.
Okay. Well, I'm a testament to that. Tell me about the bands that are coming this year.
Well, we have a number of local bands. We always do. We have the Mudcats, which are in their 31st year of playing blues around town. And part of the charm of this year's festival is the Mudcats are going to be releasing a new CD they just recorded live. And so we're celebrating them. We have the King Bees. We have Tyrone Cotton Band. We have Cheryl Rouse and the Blues Brothers. Cheryl's just a dynamic performer. She opens up the festival on Friday night. And then on our smaller stage, we have Robbie Bartlett, the Tarnations, and Lori Jane and the 45s.
Wow.
So I don't always try to do a theme when I book the music, but this year I went to the International Blues Challenge in Memphis, and I was looking specifically for bands to bring in. So all the bands that we brought in have either made the semifinals or made the finals of that competition this year. On Friday, we have a guy from South Florida, Mark Teleska, whose band was in the semifinals 2 years ago. The really cool thing about Mark this year is he's bringing in a guitar player named Frank Bang, who played with Buddy Guy for a number of years.
Wow.
And Karen Lovely from Portland, Oregon is the headliner that night. She played Garvin Gate, I guess it was about 7 years ago, 6 or 7, and as an unknown to anybody in town other than me, and she blew them away, and we've had people ask for her to come back. So she's the headliner on Friday. We've got an old Louisville stalwart, Curtis Marlette, who was here back in the 80s and early 90s, now lives in Minneapolis. He's bringing his band in. We have a band, Southern Avenue from Memphis, which is a kind of a soul R&B gospel band. We have a band from the Midwest, from Omaha, Nebraska, Hector Anchondo Band, which is, I really think will steal the show. They're extremely talented, really personable young guys. They're all about 30 years old. And then the headliner is Mr. Sip, the Mississippi Blues Child, who actually won this international challenge a couple of years ago.
So, yeah.
Looking forward to having all those bands.
Well, that's it sounds enticing. It sounds great. I mean, we're sitting here in your office where I see, you know, a giant bookcase full of vinyl. Right?
I've been collecting it since I was about 14 years old.
I was going to say, I know you told me you retired from JCPS several years ago, but where did you get this interest in the blues?
I guess I got it the first time I heard Live at Fillmore East with the Allman Brothers. After listening to that, and which I still listen to regularly now, I decided to delve in and learn about the songwriters, and just there's something about the blues that just moves me. It's real honest music. It's about real people, and it's not sad music like a lot of people think. A lot of times the blues are a celebration of overcoming things that went bad or things that have gone wrong and gotten right again. So just always been into it and always loved it, and fortunately I've had the opportunity to put it to use helping run the festival.
Now I just curious, other than like people you bring to the festival, you have like a favorite blues artist
most of my favorites have now passed on. But that's one of the reasons I'm trying to bring in some young blood, some young blues bands, was because one, our audience is getting pretty old at Garvin Gate. The bands that we're bringing in this year, they're all young, probably from 30 to 42, 43 years old. And not only doing that to show some of the old folks some new music, but we're trying to attract a younger audience as well. Lauren Hendricks, our publicist, has done a great job getting us involved with local social media. And we're hoping to, last year we had some more young folks, we're hoping to continue to draw them this year.
Well, that's a great transition into our other topic. You have helped start a Blues in the Schools program. Right. And, you know, there's no better way to get young people involved, I guess, than to get them in while they're in school, right?
Well, that's,
tell me about the whole program.
That's our hope. You know, we have a new sponsor who came on last year, and then after the festival came to us and wanted to make Saturday of the festival more kid-friendly. And as a former educator, I've always wanted to do something with blues in a school. So we, with his backing, Scott Collins of FMS, with his backing, we are doing a blues in a school with four elementary schools this year, starting off small. We'll have growing pains. We'll make some mistakes, but we've got Michael Jones, a local music historian, Tyrone Cotton, and Screaming John Hawkins, two local musicians, will be going to Wheatley Elementary today, which is Wednesday. They'll be going to Roosevelt Perry, they'll go to Bloom, and they'll go to Hyde Elementary, working with fifth graders.
Okay. And do they just put on a sort of show or a lecture?
There'll be a slideshow with some talking, with some explanation of what blues is. We're focusing on the blues of Louisville, historical figures in the Louisville blues scene, like Sylvester Weaver, Sarah Martin. And then Tyrone and John will be playing some of the old blues, different kinds of blues. We're actually going to, Michael Jones is bringing a couple of jugs from jug band music, which is very instrumental in forming the blues.
Okay.
And so a couple of kids will get a chance to blow on the jug and see if they can do that. So it's interactive. Like I said, this is the first time we've done it, and we'll sit down when we're done, and hopefully we'll come back stronger and better next year.
Yeah.
And then the culmination of all that is Saturday morning at Garvin Gate. Festival starts at 2, but at 11 we're having something called Blues for Youth. We're going to have three bands, three kid bands play, one from Mom's Music, one from AMPS, which is a music program in the West End, and the Louisville Leopards percussionists are going to play.
Okay.
And during that time, we'll have a guy from Guitar Emporium that will have guitars, somebody from Mom's will have some drums, and Rick Kane of the King Bees is going to teach some harmonica licks for kids to learn. We're going to have a large band of every kid there gets to play harmonica. They're going to sing a blues song, And the cool thing about it is all these kids get to go home with a harmonica.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a great kids program. I'm sure a lot of adults would like to go through that.
They're welcome to come and join us. We don't know what kind of crowd to expect. We've been publicizing it on social media. If we have, I know that the Leopards have 70 kids, so we know we'll have 70 kids there that will get to experience other kinds of things. But if we have 20 kids show up, I'll be happy.
I mean, is it all ages you think you can reach, where do you start?
I got a question on Facebook from a lady the other day asking how old could the kids be, and I guess a range I would think would be 5 to 15, but we're not going to turn anybody away. We want people to come and learn about the blues. We want to give back to the community. We want kids to develop an interest in music, to get them out of in front of games or get them out of the streets. We want kids to be able to fall in love with music like a lot of our musicians in town have.
Yeah, well, there's only so much you can do making them sit in the back of the car and listen to your music while you're driving around.
Well, right? You can do that. That's which hopefully is not punishment.
I remember the days of doing that a little bit. So let's talk. So the Garvin Gate Blues Festival, how many years have you been doing it?
This is the 21st year.
Wow.
It started in 1988, but lasted about 7 years, and then maybe 8 years, but then it went on a 10-year hiatus.
Okay.
Howard Rosenberg, who's the chairperson, moved out of town. The neighbors in Old Louisville got kind of tired of putting it on.
Yeah.
And Howard moved back into town, and we resurrected it, and we're up to the level where we were when it ended before. We have last year we had some really huge crowds. We're always keeping our fingers crossed for good weather because the music will always be good. It's just and we've been very fortunate with that with the weather, and hopefully we'll have good weather again this time.
Okay, so anybody wants to come, it's October 7th and 8th, right? Friday and Saturday.
Right. Music both? On Friday starts at 6:30, goes till about 11:15. On Saturday, we have the Blues for Youth from 11 to 1:30. The festival music starts at 2 and goes to about 11.
Okay. And there's no admission.
Absolutely not. It's totally free. Totally free.
It sounds great. Well, I'm looking forward to going down there, hearing some blues.
Well, hope to see you down there, and hope everybody else decides to come and give us a shot.
And I am back in the studio with Lauren Hendricks. Thank you so much, Lauren, for coming by and spending a little time with me.
Yeah, well, thank you again. This has been fun. I really like it.
And it was great hearing from Mike about the Garvin Gate Blues Festival. I can't wait till next weekend to go out there.
Yeah, I really encourage everyone. I mean, you can't lose. It's a free music festival, in Old Louisville. The weather, fingers crossed, weather's going to be great again like it was last year. It's a fun time. Grab a beer, grab some friends, and go down there and
there you go.
Hang
and
out.
And also mention our other guest. Go out and see Jessica
at the
Actors Theater. I think it starts on October 4th, the Macbeth, and think about how that relates to Donald Trump, right?
Very, very interesting timing. you got to read between the lines there.
Power-hungry people and whatever. Everybody knows how Lauren and I feel about the whole election thing and Trump.
I think we made that clear.
And that's pretty clear. So a lot going on. Lauren, you just got so much going on in your life. I'm sorry you're leaving town again.
I know.
He must be really special.
Oh. I am actually going out of town for a bachelorette party for a wedding I'm in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
And
okay.
This is probably my eighth wedding festivity just within
age.
The last couple of weeks.
I know.
I'm at that age, but I've been at that age since I graduated. It's not ending.
Okay. Okay.
Lots of weddings.
And when is yours?
Oh, no time soon.
No time. We don't have that figured out yet.
No.
Okay, well, I need to wrap up the show. I want to thank my sponsors, Passport Health Plan and the Eye Care Institute, for making this show possible and making us able to do this for 169 consecutive weeks. And it's been a lot of fun. Lauren, I hope you'll come back and maybe guest co-host again.
I would love to. I hope you'll have me back.
Yeah, I certainly will. And, it's just a lot of fun doing this.
It is.
And I can't wait to get out on the town and see some of these things going on. We didn't mention another thing you're missing is the Fat Friday.
Just rub it in. Just rub it in.
You're missing that.
I'm
sure the Red Hog will be participating. They're having a Maker's Mark sponsored Red Out on Friday night on Franklin Avenue. So
Very cool.
One more thing that you're missing.
Just add it to the list. I'll be here the weekend after, though, and y'all have to have me back on when I'm in town.
yeah, that's good. Well, I'll see you at the Garvin Gate Blues Festival.
Yes.
And, you know, I want to remind everybody to go and visit my other websites, eatdrinktalk.net, to keep up with everything that's going on with drinking and dining downtown. We have a great new show coming up on Friday with guest host Steve, my partner, Steve Coombs. And my guests on that show are going to be Anu Sheriott and Bob Hancock, who runs the Red Hog. They're going to be on that show. So anybody that listens to this should also listen to Eat, Drink, Talk. We have news all week on LouisvilleKY.com. I encourage you to go there and see what's going on in Louisville, my hometown, Lauren's hometown, a great place to live and play.
Right? Love it. Not leaving.
We love it here. All right, Lauren, thanks again for being on the show. And
thank you again.
We'll be talking again soon.
Sounds good.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.
Time.